5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on. Da!
Someday, someday, somehow, I know we'll make it that far. Oh, that's love. Baby, I know that's love. I want
your lips
caressing a fingertip. That's love. Baby, my crazy love. Well,
that's love,
my love for you.
That's love,
my
love,
so true.
Each night,
I pray,
you
care for me someday.
That's love,
baby, I know that's love.
That's love,
my love for you.
That's love,
my love so true. Each night,
someday,
I pray,
somehow,
you care for me someday.
That's love,
baby, I know that's love.
Well, welcome one and all. Something was supposed to happen after that, but it didn't. So I don't know what went wrong there, but hey, it is.
The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, thank you, Peter Griffin. You're a knob. As I was saying, it is 9:30 on Thursday night. It's obviously got off to a great start, hasn't it? episode 57 of the All New Panic Room with me, James H. Longmore, and Xtina, who will be along shortly. But I tell you what, I'm going to bring her on now because, you know, I've missed her this week. So I'm going to bring her on now. So I don't know what happened there. Peter Griffin, I think maybe he was having a poo or something, but he finally made it. I mean, what a show we had last week. What a great couple
did.
Of guests. That Longmore guy was fucking awesome, I have to say. I love his stuff.
He was.
I do like
he
his
was.
Stuff. He's great.
I love that he's, book. I did. I've been reading a lot lately, a lot more than I have been in past.
No,
well,
I'm impressed.
Like,
I mean, bearing in mind, I'm beginning to think you don't want to read Pede. I think maybe creature things are not your thing, but I was really impressed.
You know,
you read Tenebrion in like 3 days. That was awesome.
No, really.
Well done, you.
And I do want to read Pede, but this is awful. I'm going to say this, and I have to buy it on Kindle. That's my problem. I can't. You know, you signed it. It's you know, I can't break the binding. I can't. So,
seriously?
Seriously.
I can send you another one. I have plenty.
No.
I can send you another one. Not a problem.
No, I get it on Kindle. That way, you know, I can read it at night, and I don't have the book fall into my face. And that's happened before, by the way. So I guess.
Excellent.
Yeah, I don't know what I'll do if, you know, technology goes bad, because I need my Kindle to read now. Real books, and this is awful. I, I was reading a real book one time. Somebody sent me a book, and I was reading it, and I went to try to swipe to turn the page. Isn't that awful? I did.
Awesome. And I must admit, I prefer paper. I really do. I read a lot. I'm using my Kindle more and more. If I'm reading, new stuff, submissions from authors, I find a nifty little website that'll convert anything to anything, so it'll convert to
yeah.
Kindle.
Yep, I have one of those too. It's easier to find mistakes that way for me, anyway.
It is good, actually. Yeah, because you can make notes and what have you. But they'll send me a doc or PDF. And quick conversion. Upload it to the Kindle. Jobs are gone. It's great because then I can read. I can read anywhere. And it's a soccer season as well, which means two nights a week whilst under soccer practice. So, that's a forced hour and a half sat and I was sat in the car or. Sit in the park and read, and it's a good reading time for me.
The weather was beautiful here today, and I'm all excited about fall coming up really soon. And did I tell you about the crazy little area that I'm living in right now? There was a donkey that. Oh yeah, I did tell you because we talked about donkey shows. Yeah,
we did talk about donkey porn. Yes.
There's a donkey like two blocks away from me, and if you walk by at a certain time, he makes that noise that donkeys make.
Well, it would do. That's because it's a donkey. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done. As opposed to like doing impressions of James Stewart or something. That would be great, wouldn't it?
I'm kind of frightened about where I'm at right now because we have donkeys, we have I swear there's dodo birds, there's roosters walking around, and there's
you do know dodos are extinct, don't you? You do know that.
Okay. I don't know that. Dodo bird, but it was some kind of weird, strange bird that I don't know what it was, and I don't know. Really? Dodo birds are extinct?
Despair.
I did not know
that. Yeah, the dodo's not the dodo, no! No!
Oh, gosh. I don't feel as bad making saying that as I did with the whole butterfly egg thing. That was pretty bad.
We don't. You keep bringing that up. I refuse to discuss that with you, sir.
I do. I can't let it go.
No, you can't. No. So, anyway, speaking of letting things go, do we have a show tonight? Have we got a show for the listener tonight or not?
We have an awesome show. Yes, we do.
Good. Are you going to elaborate or not?
I was wondering if you were going to do that. We have Jade West on. I'm excited to have her on. I am.
That is awesome. All the way from Wales, I understand.
Yes.
Yay.
Yes. It's like 3:30 in the morning or something for her, isn't it?
I know. Bless. We need to bring her on before she falls asleep.
We do. Yes.
Oh, wow. And we also have Jeff Strand, 4 times nominee of the Bram Stoker Award. So that's exciting as well. So, is it? Yeah, it is. It is. So, another new Panic Room would be complete before, unless we started with You Know Who.
By the pussy.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Yes, grab him by the pussy indeed. Why not? It's been another week, hasn't it? Another week of Trump, and he's gone from Mexico going to pay for this fucking wall to pay for it at some point. If you don't pay for it, I'm going to suspend Parliament or whatever. I mean, what a nut. I mean, seriously, what a cock.
I've got a jingle.
Listen. You're a cock. There you go. That's pretty much all. I mean, every time he opens it, speaking as an outsider, as a Brit, and we say, yeah, I live here, but the man is an absolute embarrassment. I mean.
Yep.
Clinton, I mean, he had the whole Monica Lewinsky thing.
I thought he was cool.
He had a dalliance with an intern. Probably not the first president that's ever done that, looking at you, Mr. JFK. But it was almost like, good old Bill, good old Bill, where he splashed out on a new dress for Monica. But Trump is just an absolute not. I mean, he's just a narcissistic prick. I'm sorry, I'm at loss for words to describe the man. Every time he opens his mouth,
it's an embarrassment.
And the worst of it is, he's dangerous. He's got the finger on the button. He's entered into this schoolyard taunting with Kim. He's a bad haircut. Maybe so Obama did nothing. What Obama did was ignore. Fuck yeah, didn't do anything, and Kim just he's got Trump, suddenly he's got an audience. You give a bully an audience and he plays up to it, he's like an old kid. So I'm gonna find myself. I said, this is so large shit, it really is. I've got more than I can fire and brimstone against you, and I can bomb Guam, and now you know where Guam is. They think it's in the food section. That trading market, trading or whatever. But it's just this thing, it's spiraling upwards. It's not often, and I lived through a lot of the Cold War years when, the relations, the 70s, 80s, relations with Russia were pretty dire. I've never been more scared. What world is going to be left for my kids if there's going to be anything left for my kids,
I don't think I've ever been this ashamed to be an American. I mean, I used to be like, go USA, but not anymore. I'm really not, and it's sad.
That was something I used to, before I lived, when I visited America, I was always used to love the pride the American people have in themselves, in the armed force in America. Now, people with everything going on, I'm just like, we went through 3 years to be just
you're breaking up so bad right now. You're breaking up really bad, and I don't blame AT&T. Somebody said fucking AT&T. I blame the government. They hear that we're talking about them, and so they're making you impossible to understand right now. That's my theory. I have a theory.
He's heard it, I believe it. And what he's doing, he's sabotaging the show by rubbing the wires between his butter.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what's happening.
Well, I tell you what, I'm gonna bring Jade on. You can chat with Jade. Hopefully the music starts. Jade, are you there? Calling Wales.
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Jade, how are you, my dear?
I'm very well, thank you. Very good indeed.
And it's like, what is it, like 3-something in the morning for you? Did you take a nap? I hope you took a nap. Yeah.
No, I didn't actually, but it's okay because I'm normally up at this time of night, so it's fine.
Oh, goodness. Are you really? I used to be a night owl, but I'm not anymore. Now I'm usually in bed by midnight. I'm going, oh, my goodness. Well, actually, even earlier than that, but, kids in school and all that crazy nonsense. So, you know, you have to be up early so you go to bed a little earlier. But I'm starting to feel old, and that's just no good. But
I wouldn't recommend this this nighttime awakeness. In
yeah.
general, it's not great. It's not very healthy.
It used to be my favorite time to write, though, really late at night, because the house was quiet, you know, and you had your thoughts to yourself. But that was when I was getting up at noon. So.
Well, this is it, isn't it? It is a great time to write. So I think we all become relatively nocturnal over time, I guess.
I know. I do. Yeah. So you were here to talk to us about your book, Bait, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it came out last week. It's a bit of a dark romance. It's actually come out with the highest reviews of any of mine have ever come out of the Stable Door with, which is fantastic. It's a story about two pretty broken people, to be honest, who form an unlikely relationship online and trying to navigate the difficulties that come with moving that across to real life, I guess. So, it's been pretty well received. I'm really pleased. It's always a bit nerve wracking when you release a book out there, but yeah, so far so good.
Awesome. Is it going to be a series or is it a standalone?
Well, the book itself is a standalone, but I think there's going to be a follow-up with the hero's main brother, just because I don't think I'm really ready to let this world go just yet. But we'll see.
I love when that happens, when you're writing in a world, or even, you know, just reading. I know that there was this series that I was just so taken with, and you know, it ended up being like 10 books long, and when it was over with, even though I knew, you know, you can go back to the beginning, read all over again, but just knowing that world is it's done and over with, there will never be anything new, it was hard. It really was. It was I probably cried, and you know, I don't want anybody to know that I cry over books, but I do. But so, you know, in the book is dark romance, right? Is it
dark
erotica?
Yeah. Well, technically, I mean, all of mine are relatively extreme in terms of their content.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say generally, though, it's a romance first and foremost. The story of it is a story about two people who find a relationship together. There just happens to be quite dirty sex in it, really, as is usual
nice.
For mine. So.
Speaking of dirty sex, do we? I'm hoping anyway. Do you have a reading for us?
I do, but it's not actually. It's not one of the dirtier parts. I thought I'd keep this one a little bit tamer, but it does give a little bit of an idea as to. I mean, a lot of my books tend to revolve around fetishes and things people are interested in, and this one is no exception. And I chose this particular little snippet because it gives a bit of an idea as to what is covered in this particular book. So we'll see. So shall I just go right ahead and crack on with this?
Yes, ma'am. It's all yours.
Ah, fantastic. Okay, this is actually, it's from the point of view of Abigail, who is the main heroine in this book, and this is relatively near the beginning, so here we go. Part of me regrets turning the girls from work down when they asked me out with them this evening. Part of me wishes I could find solace in the drink and chatter of a regular Friday night out with colleagues. Once upon a time, I loved weekend drinks with people from work, with him. I stare at the words on my laptop screen. My heart pounding with a strange mix of horror and excitement. I shouldn't click the OK button. There's no way I should post this online, and definitely not with any one of those arty obscure pictures of myself with the contrast raised up high and my hair covering half of my face. I'm standing on the edge of a precipice, staring into the unknown, and it's so stupid to flirt with disaster by inching that bit closer to the darkness, but behind me is just more of the same. More days at my desk, more evenings trying to convince myself life is good here, more fake smiles and self-help books as I tried to get through everything that went so horribly wrong back home. I used to browse profiles on this website when I was younger, plucking up the courage to explore some of my darker fantasies. I never did. I was never brave slash reckless enough to risk it. Not back then when life felt right. But now it feels like a different story. I send a text to my parents with the usual things a good message I've been sending them every week since I arrived here. I reply to the photo message I got from my old friends with their miss you note scrawled underneath. I miss them too so much. But neither of those things pull me back from the ledge. No, I need to do this. I need to feel something, something other than this. My finger hits enter and I hold my breath as the screen changes to a tick with profile uploaded written underneath. Fuck. I've really done it. I click on the link to my new sex hookup profile and take a breath as I see my picture staring back at me. It's really there. Live. The green circle at the side of the image tells the world I'm online right now. The words look even worse somehow now they're out there to be seen. I'm seeking my monster in the darkness. I'll run, but you'll run faster. We'll play cat and mouse until you catch me. I won't know you, and I'll pretend I don't want to. You'll pretend you don't care. I'll tell you I don't want it. You'll tell me you'll take it anyway, and then you will. And it'll be rough. One wild night where anything goes, and then we'll never see each other again. I feel like such a crazy as I read it back. My message sounds off. Too confident, maybe. Too callous, reckless. I click to edit, and when I feel the lump in my throat, I know I really am on the ledge. I'm tired. Tired of trying, tired of playing normal. The urge to bare my soul is too strong to ignore this evening, to be authentically vulnerable just once, even if only a handful of strangers use it as masturbation fodder. My fingers are jittery when I type. Please, I might sound crazy, but I need this. I've always needed this. Please help me feel alive again. I'm not seeking a psycho, just someone who can help me feel alive again. I can't face looking at my updated profile with its little green icon online, so I close the laptop as soon as I'm done. I sit on my bed in the tiny apartment I hope would feel like home by now, my knees pulled up to my chest as I stare at the patterns the streetlights make on the wall, and then my phone pings.
No, that's
and
it.
Go.
Oh, no, you can't stop there. No.
No, I like that.
Oh.
I wonder what
really
happened
gabble.
Now.
I do tend to gabble. I hope that wasn't a bit fast. Is that a Welsh word, I think, gabble?
No.
Gabble?
Or a British thing?
It must be. It's a British thing, Alan, yeah.
I mean, I think I could get it with, like, context clues and everything, but it's not something I would say. That was awesome, and I love your accent, by the way. I have a thing. We need, seriously, every time we have a reading, and I just want to keep listening. It's so, you know, which is weird. I have been dealing with this issue for the past couple of nights. I decided I was going to try an audiobook, and I can't do it. I found myself last night, this was crazy. I'm listening to the audiobook, but I have it pulled up on my Kindle and I'm reading along. Doesn't that defeat the purpose of having an audiobook?
Yes, it does. Absolutely.
So I don't know. I was just going to say I don't like being read to, which is funny because on the show, it's my favorite part. And it's not just because I get to drink while they're reading either. Although that is a bonus. That is a bonus.
That does help, doesn't it? Very much so, yes.
Yes.
No,
yeah.
I'm the same. I obviously listen to music. I like listening to comedy on tape or whatever, you know, recording. But no, reading, I like to read. I like to read at my own pace. In fact, I can't remember who it is. We had an author on months and months and months ago who said he won't do readings of his own stuff. I think he had me read it.
Because he
doesn't like to give his reader a different voice. You know, like the reader to... That's what I like to do as a reader. I like to create my own voice. It may have been Richard, because I read from Gwendy's Button Box.
And I
kind of get that because it's like when you read a book and then you see a movie and you think, no, that's not him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he doesn't look like that. You know? No, they've got that wrong. They've got that wrong, you know, and because you've built up your own mental image of the character. I think that's what reading's about. I think, you know, audiobooks for me takes that a little bit away. But then again, my father-in-law, he drives a lot, he travels a lot, and he, you know, he munches through audiobooks like you wouldn't believe, because he can catch, you know, can read while he's driving, I suppose, in effect.
Yeah, I get, it's just not for me. I think I'm going to definitely go back to just the reading, because it's just not, it doesn't hold my attention. It the only way it did was when I was reading along with it. So, I'm just going to cut out the middleman there and go back to reading, because, I don't know. And I have to say, Jade, I started reading, I'm trying to remember the name of it, Dirty Bad Wrong, something like that. Do I have it right? Yeah, I started reading that a couple nights ago, and I love that way you start right out with, you know, she's in chains.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I'm like,
well, you know,
wow, I love it.
It's not a book like that, you know.
Yeah, it's like, that's a great way to start a book, by the way. Because it
well,
had me going, wow.
Those the dirty buds all tend to start kind of like that, actually. It's like you get a snippet of what's to come, and then it sort of like winds back, and you get into the story, like however long it was before that initial scene happened. So, yeah, they can be quite striking, quite striking when you pick them up first, I think.
Yeah, I love
so,
that.
I mean,
so I did.
I've got to ask Jade. I mean, yeah, where do you get your inspiration from for the smut, if you're smart.
Well, I used to be a chat line operator a few years back, and believe me, that there's not a lot that I didn't hear about in that stint.
All right,
I was literally the most popular party guest ever. You know, I'd go out anywhere and people would be like, "Tell me about your callers," and it was crazy. You know, I had people into radiators, guillotines, burning money. All sorts of crazy stuff, amazing stuff. And generally, I mean, I don't think anybody in my real life that I've ever met would be surprised by the books I ended up writing, because I've always been that dirty one.
Awesome.
Wow.
I must admit, it is astounding, you know, just the sort of stuff that... that floats people's boats. I mean, back in England many, many years ago, one of the companies that we created and ran was Fantasy Fulfillment. I mean, you obviously over in England, you've heard of Red Letter Days, yeah?
Yep.
It was a sort of an adult version of that. We had products in Harrods at one point. And, you know, the more we got into it, I mean, there was like the more vanilla stuff, you know, the boudoir photography, and we actually, somebody paid us handsomely to organize for him, his wife, and a friend, a lady friend, to join the Mile High Club in a private plane. Then as we got into, there's more like the under the counter sort of stuff, metaphorically speaking. And the stuff that people, I mean, you're right, was like, are you serious? I mean, there's one guy, and he was genuinely serious. He wanted us to organise for him to have sex with a horse.
Whoa!
Very, very good. Well done, Christine. Yeah. I will say we did not for many reasons. Well, we couldn't find the horse for that for
oh
many reasons. But some of the bizarre, you know, the bizarrely. What, you know, I guess weird things that people are into is it's a never ending list. You know, when you think you've heard it all, I mean, you know, Jade's probably, I say the chat line thing, you probably every day thought, I've heard everything now. And then, you know, the next day, no, I haven't actually.
Well, this thing, some of them are really specific as well. You know, I had this one guy, and he wanted to be gunged, you know, like on those game shows where as a forfeit they get gunged, you know, like this gunge dropped on their head. But he particularly wanted to be gunged in front of a live studio audience, but it had to be rainbow-coloured gunge, and I had to be with him, and I had to be wearing a yellow PVC catsuit. This was his particular fantasy, and it had to be exact. Like, he had to run in through it, and it had to be exact. You know, it couldn't be anything else. It had to be exactly as he wanted.
It makes you wonder what happened, at what point in his life that was imprinted on his brain. You know?
Well, that's the thing, you don't want to end up doing it for too long, that kind of job, otherwise you'd end up... What does make you want to be gunged in front of a live studio audience? I'd have been interested.
It's funny because one of the most popular things we dealt with was sploshing, which is food. You know, people being...
Yeah, the food one, yeah.
Having, basically yeah. having food thrown at them, and... Yeah, the gunnish thing, and you know, people in that end of the business said, you know, a lot of it dated back, and again, the American people think won't get this so much, but remember Tiz Was?
Yeah.
Where they and again, gunnish, I mean, over here they have like, when they do the Nick Awards, Nickelodeon Award, you know, they there's green gunnish left, right, and center.
Yeah,
you know,
slime or something.
And it's imprinted.
Yeah.
On a lot of kids, there'll be a lot of kids who've grown up watching Nick who will go on to have green fantasies, you know, and but it's amazing. I read a very interesting article not that long since about foot fetishism, and one of the beliefs is that, you know, people become imprinted on feet because there's very, very small children, and that's the part of their mother specifically that they see. You know, you're crawling around and all those, you're going to see your mum's feet more than anything. And allegedly, you know, that helps to imprint, you know, in the, you know, sexual parts of the brain upon maturity. But, yeah.
So weird.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole psychology of it. I mean, again, if I'm Jade, anyway, I mean, were you actually one of the girls that people phone and you talk them through
what
they're
me,
doing?
Yeah, that was me, yeah.
Fantastic. How long did you do that for?
About a year. I used to try and work out. It's pretty gross, actually. I'd probably best not go there. I used to try and work out how many callers I'd helped along the over the course of that year. And it would have been a lot, you know. And some of them are literally, you pick up the phone, they're halfway there, and you get, you know, 15 seconds. And some of them will call you all night long. And it's crazy because,
yeah.
you know, it used to cost a ridiculous sum of money, and they just call back and back again.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was insane.
Wow.
But, yeah, people get really into it. And as much as anything, I think these are people who have literally got no outlet for some of these fantasies in their everyday life. And it's really quite sad, you know, that you have to call somebody at an extortionate rate in some ways to to talk about it. But, you
well,
know...
if they fantasy is something that specific, I mean, there's a good chance they'll never find out, like, other than...
Yeah.
You know, something like that. You know, that there's unlikely to be. Although these days, I mean, you know, you could pretty much type anything into Pornhub and find anything. You could probably find rainbow coloured gunge fantasy with yellow cats. It's probably there. And you know, listener. Yeah, I'm gonna Google that the minute. I'm gonna look that.
Well, I hope he's not listening because he's going to be like, that's so weird, that's my fantasy or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, well, there's somebody else. Woohoo! he could start Facebook group, couldn't he?
Oh, right.
As an operator, it's your job, really, is to make it seem as though you're right there with them. So, you know, and you get to know people. So one minute you're there going, you're trying to play along with this, you know, oh, I love radiators, you know. The next minute you're like, oh, I love that. I love burning money, and I love shaving people's hair off, and I love, you know, whatever it is. And it's quite bizarre, you know. It's very strange. But great job. I loved it. It was very entertaining for a year. It was great.
But a great grounding for, obviously, for the, you know, the books that you write now, yeah? I mean, you must have an endless supply of stories that you can put down on paper.
Well, I'm not sure how well some of them would go down, you know, if I suddenly did a,
so,
a
I mean,
book where everyone was
I'm really interested about the radiator thing. Could you elaborate?
The radiator, he's, you know, he'd literally call up and be like, you know, they always sound very excited, obviously, when they say, oh, have you got any radiators in your place? And I'd be like, yeah, I've got loads in this room. I've got two big ones. He'd be like, are they on? I'd be like, yeah, they are. They're on. You know, I wanted to go and sit by them and tell him how hot they were. And, like, it was getting too hot to even sit by this radiator now. And he's like, just sit by it, you know. And that was it. And he'd be crazy for that. It's very... It's very bizarre, and it's
that is fantastic. Radiator porn. I've just found a new thing. That is the most wonderful thing I've heard for a long time.
It is an unusual one, that one, I think. I think he was the only person I spoke to who was into that particular one, but...
Wow.
He's probably the only person.
In fairness to him, it was a pretty pretty easy one to talk through, you know. Most people got out of the radiator, so it was pretty easy. Just go and sit down by there and have a whale of a time, so...
Well, do you know, that wouldn't work so much here, because they do central air. There's no radiators.
They don't have... That would be awful.
Man.
It would be done.
Poor man.
To stay here in the country, you know.
There you go.
I keep waiting to figure out how to, go into my 11 questions thing, but I couldn't find a smooth way, so that was as smooth as you get. Where's the little jingle thing?
Where's the
put
the jingle on
one
more?
Yeah.
And now, 11 questions.
Okay, you ready, Jade?
Yeah, I'm ready for this.
Okay, and this is 11 questions here, but the funny part is there's only 10, and there's not even a story. James just, gave me, told me it's 11 questions, but there's only 10. So here we go. What's your guilty pleasure?
Oh, my guilty pleasure. Drinking far too much Coca-Cola, I think. It's not radiators. You caught me out now. It is radiators. Yeah, of course.
I know.
After that,
radiators.
Night.
No.
I'm going to phone you later and talk about radiators. You know that. That's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Oh, God. Okay. Here we go. I'm flustered now. Baked beans.
It's all those radiators. This is the only radiators. Gorgeous.
Okay, here we go. Baked beans, ranch style or pork and beans?
What is ranch style for a start?
Right? Thank you.
No,
right?
They do exist.
I've seen pictures.
It's the only way to eat beans, isn't it?
I've seen pictures. They do exist, but I don't know what they are either. So.
But no, she's in Wales. They've only just got indocumented in Wales. So, ranch steak.
If it's not on toast, we don't know about it.
Beans on toast. Yeah, that's it. Beans on toast.
Okay, let's go. Here we... puppies or kittens?
Oh, puppies, definitely.
Right, I agree.
Yay.
What's your favourite lunch meat?
Oh, I'm not going to go where my mind went there.
Please, you should go there.
I think I'm going to say...
That's another caller.
Like a nice bit of ham.
Your callers.
Ham, that's good. I won't judge you too harshly for that answer. Turkey, the people who answer turkey, I frown upon. So.
No, we don't know. We don't want them.
Yeah. What was your first car?
It was a black Ford Fiesta and it used to belong to a boy racer before me. It had this big bean can exhaust on it, and its dashboard was like glittery blue. It was great.
Nice.
I called it Bertie.
Awesome.
What do you fear most, snakes or spiders?
Oh, spiders, I think. I'm not particularly fond of either, though.
Yeah.
Spiders.
Yeah, if I see a live snake somewhere, that'll freak me out a little bit, but it's definitely spiders all the way. Freddy, Jason, or Pinhead?
Oh, you know what? I was petrified of Freddy when I was a kid. Like, petrified. Pinhead's kind of weird. Jason, nondescript. So,
yeah,
I'd say Freddy just because he petrified me when I was younger.
Let's see. First draft, handwritten or word processor?
Word processor, definitely. I can't even read handwriting, so...
I can't either. Oh, my God. I can't either. It's bad. I wrote a letter to somebody not too long ago, and they're like, it'd be nice if I could read it. I can't do that. Favorite alcoholic drink?
I don't drink, actually. So if I had to drink, I'd say probably a nice glass of Prosecco.
Ah,
but I'd be drunk after, so... It would be only one.
Okay, one interesting non-writing related fact about you.
Oh, I am really good at the game Bop It. Do you have Bop It?
I don't know. Do we have that game, James?
It's like a handheld thing, and you have to go like flick it or bop it or whatever. I'm really good at that kind of stuff. Anything, any stupid games, I'm good at those.
Yeah, I think I do have it.
I don't know. And here's our bonus question, not to be confused with question 11, because we don't have 11 questions. baseball or stamp collection?
Oh, wow.
Right?
I don't know too much about either. Probably I'd say baseball, because stamp collecting, I'm not sure I'm too good at that.
Baseball all the way. I think that baseball is definitely winning, James.
But what if stamps with radiators on them? Would that make a difference for you?
Well, you could literally cover a radiator with stamps, couldn't you? You could do that.
Now we're talking. I'm going to have to private message you on that one.
That's probably two. That's the biggest fan in one.
Oh, God.
Double whammy.
It's certainly one of mine.
I'm going to put this in a book, you know. This is going to be the next book. It's going to be Dirty Bad Radiator.
Dirty Bad Radiator. You naughty. Radiator, you.
It's gonna be massive. I think, you know. I can really see this taking off.
Can I co-write? I want to co-write it with, please.
Yeah, you can. You can add the stamps if you like. You can come in and do a guest, you know, stamp chapter.
Oh my God. I hate that we are just about over with our first segment here. I can't even talk right. I'm laughing too hard. I have tears in my eyes. But can you tell us where we can find you online, Jade?
You can always find me on Facebook, because I'm never off there. And that's facebook.com/JadeWestAuthor. You can find me at JadeWestAuthor.com. You can also find me on Twitter. You can find me, I've got a reader group on Facebook as well. Generally, you can find me on social media all over the place. And on Amazon,
awesome.
Of course, you can find my books on there, but...
I do think we have all of your links put up on our Facebook page, so if anybody wants to stalk Jade, they can do it there. And
Yay.
You have to promise to come back and see us. We're going to have you on for the whole show next time, and we're just going to talk about dirty radiators, I guess.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're
going
to talk about radiators, so I look forward to that.
I've got a whole host of stories like this. We could do like a whole series on it. It's going to be great.
And we will do that. I will get in touch with you on Facebook, and we'll collaborate on Naughty Bad Radiators. I can see that being an international bestseller. It'll make 50 Shades look like crap, to be honest with you.
It will, of course, because everyone wants these alternate fetishes now. The mainstream is done. It's all
it,
about
isn't it? The BDSM yawn.
Let's tie up a spanker.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, let's talk about radiators and stamps.
Definitely.
I like that.
Well, I need to pour more wine now. So, again, thank you so much for coming on the show, and
thanks,
I will definitely be getting with you to stalk you and ask you to come back, because this has been great fun.
Right, yes. Thank you for staying up late as well, Jade. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thanks for having me. I've had a thoroughly good time.
Good. So have we. So have we. And
thank
happy radiators.
And that to you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I like that. I like that.
Oh, my gosh.
So, hey, quick round of commercials, then we're going to have a break, then we'll be back with Becky the Reviewer and India Corner and Jeff and my dog. Oh, yes, India, she's there. She's queuing up ready. So off you go, Xtina,
okay.
If you can be bothered.
Here we go. The portals have opened once more. We swear it wasn't our fault this time. Hellbound Books Publishing is pleased to announce the arrival of another Taboo anthology, The Big Book of Bootleg Horror, Volume 2. Following close on its heels comes Depraved Desires 2, an anthology of dark erotica and erotic horror compiled and edited by internationally best-selling author Bonnie Capps. And finally, horror author P. Mattern has summed up a new anthology, Devils, Demons, and Denizens of Hell. Go to hellboundbookspublishing.com to purchase these anthologies
and
more.
And Radiators.
And Radiators.
Devils, Demons, Devils, Denizens of Hell, and Radiators. Okay.
And finally, we at Hellbound Books are proud to announce our very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read this summer, check out New Erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com. And don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial, The Panic Room Radio Show. Twitter at Panic Room Radio. Our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show. And come visit our website, www.panicroomradio.com. There we go.
Okay, and Radiators. I just like saying Radiators now. I'm just obsessed with things. So I'm going to go, and sadly, we do not have radiators in this house. It's all sort of the central air thing. So my car has a radiator. I'm going to go and have a look at that now. So in the meantime, we'll have a break. We'll be right back. Big old wee there, so I think. Well, hang on, just a sec. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yay! So, hey, before we bring on Becky the reviewer, we have. Are you going to do the jingle for Indie? Get India Corner, everybody. Do the jingle.
Wait.
Indie Corner. That's it.
It's a mini Harley Quinn.
So, hey, so what have you got for us this week? So, say hi to Xtina.
Hi, Xtina.
Say hi to Becky, the reviewer.
Hi, Becky.
Hang on, shall we bring Becky? Let's bring Becky on as well, because Becky always likes to say her. Becky wants to come play in your fort one day. So, hi,
Becky.
Sorry,
I took it down. Becky wants to play in the
fort. We'll have to build another one.
Yeah.
I'm good at building forts.
She's brilliant. She's the best fort builder ever. So, hey, India has, what have you got for us, India?
I just picked a random book. I have Mr. Brown Can Moo.
Can you?
No.
Right, we're going to hear a little bit of Mr. Brown Can Moo.
Can you?
I can. Can you moo?
Moo.
Moo. Becky.
Moo.
Becky. Thank you, Moo. That was the worst Moo ever. Next time. Put that bit of effort. Right, and he's going to read a little bit now. So off you go.
He can go eek like a squeaky shoe. He can go like a rooster. Cock-a-doodle-doo. He can go like an owl. Hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Eek-eek-eek-eek-eek. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Hoo-hoo-hoo. How about you? He can go like the rain. Jibble-jibble-jibble-drop. Jibble-jibble-jibble-jibble-drop-drop-drop. He can go like a train. Choo-choo-choo-choo. Oh, the wonderful things Mr. Brown can do. Moo, moo. Buzz, buzz. Pop, pop, pop. Eek, eek. Hoo, hoo. Clop, clop, clop. Jibble, jibble. Drop, drop. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Mr. Brown can do it. How about you?
Okay. I think that's enough for the reading.
Okay.
That's enough for the, that was an awesome reading. So before we bring Becky on, India's going to do embarrassing story. Okay.
Yay!
So.
Wait, about me?
Yes, about you. Not about me. Thank you.
Can I do one about you, please?
Right, okay. We're
going to
do the intro, and we're going to do an embarrassing story. Okay.
Hi, I'm Patty, and I'm Thelma. What is your most embarrassing story?
Okay, what embarrassing story? How about the one where we're in the escape the room zombie thing?
Oh,
this is great. Seriously,
okay.
Look at this, folks.
We went to escape the room, and there's a zombie in it, and, like,
you're familiar with the escape the room concept, yeah? Where you have to, mm-hmm. they lock you in, you have to solve puzzles to get back out. In this one, they actually had a zombie chained up, and, like, every 10 minutes, they'd ring a bell, and the chain would get longer, so the zombie could get out into the room a bit more. So, carry on. Here we go.
So, I think it was either when he got out of the thing... No, he was chasing me, and he got behind me, and I'm so glad I was wearing a dress because I tiddled a little bit.
A little bit of wee came out, didn't it? A little bit of wee.
I think I went a wee too, though, so it's okay.
I was not so lucky because I had white leggings, but I was lucky because I had a dress on.
Yes, you are. Yeah, that was funny. It was a little bit of wee came out.
It scared the
pussy
out of me, literally.
So, well, thank you for joining us, India. We're gonna listen to Becky now.
I'm staying.
You're gonna stay. Well, you need to be quiet if you stay. Can you do that?
Maybe.
She doesn't do quiet. Well, okay, so Becky, good to have you with us. What are you reviewing this week?
Well, actually, we're gonna talk about something that's very near and dear to my heart, which is author interviews.
No, it's not radiators, is it? By any chance?
No, not radiators.
Is it?
Not this time.
No. Oh. Sorry, my interest has just tanked. I'm sorry.
A while back, and I've interviewed a whole lot of authors, and I have been really lucky and gotten to know some really amazing guys and girls. And recently I was asked to write 100 questions for an author for an interview, and I was like, holy cow, what in the world do I ask? So a friend of mine and I sat down and we came up with 100 questions, and actually I was pretty impressed with most all of them. And so I sent them to him, and he has had readers also ask him questions, and he compiled them in a book. And so, and the author that I'm talking about is Matt Shaw. And the book is called Open and Exposed. And there are over 100 questions. There are my 100 questions, and then all these readers that have written questions and sent them to me. And it's absolutely one of the most interesting things that I've read. And I think all authors should do this. It was just, it's just amazing. I need to send you and James both the questions that I sent him and let you, I mean, just to look at them, not necessarily, you know, have to answer them, but, oh, I'd love to send them to Jeff Strand, too. But, I mean, this book just, it really, it just kind of blew me away because I didn't know that that's what he was doing with them. When I wrote the questions, I wouldn't change any of them for anything. But I thought, you know, okay, I have the blog and whatever, and I do the interviews. I figured I'm going to have to figure out how to post 100 questions on my blog, you know, that he's answered. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. But then, you know, after I sent him the questions and he answered them and he messaged me back and said, hey, I've done the questions. And I'm like, oh, okay, that was quick, you know, and – I said, are you sending them back to me or what are you doing with them? And he goes, no, I'm writing a book. And I went, holy crap. So, but anyway, anybody that has read Matt's books or knows Matt, whatever, this book is great. I mean, it shows, you know, the person side of him, not just him as a writer. And I really like that because I think a lot of times when people read the books, they just see the author and the words. They don't see the person behind it and their personality and how their, you know, characters are part of them and whatever. And I think that's very special and it really makes the connection with your readers.
Definitely, definitely. I love reading author interviews and all the extras. I have these one authors that I follow, and they're always posting, you know, scenes that were deleted from their books and a bunch of different authors. It really does. It makes you, I think, care about the work more and makes you, you know, follow them.
It does.
It's really cool. It really is.
I always like to find out where the idea of the story came from. If there was, you know, if there was a background, you know, behind it, like, you know, were you sitting in a coffee shop and somebody, you know, sneezed and, you know, blew their brains half out their ear and you went, oh, I got a story.
But
you know, I'm like, where did that come from?
Right.
So I always like it when they tell me that. But this is a very interesting read and I highly recommend it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because sometimes that question, you know, where did you get the idea or something, people think that's such a basic question or something, but it's something that I think a lot of people want to know. I know I do. I love to hear the stories about, you know, and some of the people who have been on our show and they talk about, you know, where they got their inspiration from. It's really fascinating. It really is.
Yes,
so.
It is.
Yeah,
they
I never
me,
get
there's
different.
A story behind every story, which is
yeah,
sometimes, you know, as interesting as the story itself, you know. But then again, I mean, we said on the show before, you know, that there are other stories that, you know, you can ask a writer where it came from, and I've no idea. They just popped into my head.
True.
I have no idea the background, you know, where, you know, what experience I've had that generated that thought. So I think either way, you know, it's... But I think if you dig deep enough, you know, the roots are there. But anywho, we have the one and only Jeff Strand waiting in the wings. Mm-hmm. So I know Becky wants to say hi, so we're going to bring Jeff on board. Are you there, Jeff?
Yep, I'm here. Hello, everyone.
Hey,
hello.
Becky wants to say
hi.
Hello. I think she's trying to she's stealing the show. Beginning
No, I'm not. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Good. How are you, Becky?
I'm fine. I got Xena to read some of your books this week.
You know, I do try to read something of our guests. I've noticed that it makes for a better show if I have some idea of what they write, you know. And Becky was kind enough to she got me your she got me Blister. And I started reading it. And, you know, before, like a couple of weeks ago, I have I couldn't read anything. Like, it would take me forever to read a book. And I read that in, like, I think it was like 24 hours or something, and I freaking loved it. I really did. I was telling everybody I come across, I'm like, you have got to read this book. It was so good, and I'm like totally fangirling now. But
Becky wouldn't steer you wrong.
No,
you know,
I would not.
Now I trust her completely. I do.
So, anything that Jeff writes is good.
Yeah, you know, I'm actually reading the second, what am I reading now? Cyclops Road, and again, I was talking about this earlier, that I started doing the audio book just because I have it in audiobook, so I thought I'm good, but I have to go back to just reading, and that's just me. It has nothing to do with the audio version. It's wonderful, but, you know, for me personally, I have to do it myself. I have to read it myself. It's you know. I don't know. Do you feel like that? I mean, do you appreciate audiobooks as well, or, you know?
I like them because you can listen to them while you're driving and stuff. I generally prefer to actually read it because I like to read it at my own pace.
Right.
And I usually cringe when I listen to my own audiobooks because I don't read them, and as well done as they are, it never matches the way I hear it in my head when I was writing.
Yeah.
So it's I've had really good luck with audiobooks. You know, the narrators I've worked with have been outstanding, but it's usually, no, it's wrong, that's not how it's supposed to be. But I would do a much worse job if I read my own books, so I need the professionals to do it.
No, and the narrator, the guy who's reading Cyclops is doing a really great job. He really is.
Yeah.
But this is
Joe
something
Hempel
I've noticed. Is that there's been a couple places where I know if I was reading it, I would have laughed out loud, but I didn't because, of, you know, I mean, so it's like I wasn't actually there, you know?
Yep.
So, I don't know. But, and I have to say, we were, you know, you were going to talk about Blister, and that was, I cannot tell you how many times I laughed while I was reading this. And, you know, there would be, something happened that was kind of, you know, semi-scary or something, you know, something that intense was happening. And then he would crack a joke and just, you know, lighten the mood. And not only that, but just had me cracking up. And I'm like, this is not the time. But, man, you know, then I'm thinking, you must be a really funny guy. If you know, I mean, do you just walk around cracking jokes all the time? I mean, that would be awesome.
No, you will discover over the next half hour that is not true.
Really? Damn it.
Like, oh, I thought he was going to be just the wackiest, most obnoxious person ever, and they
no, not
walk
obnoxious.
Away disappointed.
That was so funny. God. I don't know. That was awesome. So, do you have a reading for us? Are you going to read to us? I can't wait for this part.
I sure do.
Yay.
It's from Blister. It doesn't really require any setup because it's almost the very beginning of the book. It's
missing
maybe three or four paragraphs, so it's no dramatic setup required. Okay. What's funny is when you had told me I would be doing a reading, I thought, oh, man, this one has the S word in it. I better watch out. And then I listened to some previous shows and thought, no, I think I'm...
Yeah, totally we're fine. Rated R. You can say anything.
Yeah. All right. My little story begins with two of the neighborhood kids, Greg and Dennis. School had started a couple of weeks ago, and one afternoon I looked out of my living room window and saw them standing outside of my backyard, rattling the metal links on the fence to rile up my schnauzer. No big deal. I'd taunted a dog or two when I was 10. I went back to work. The next day, they did the same thing. Ignatz ran back and forth, barking furiously, while the kids laughed and shouting things, including but not limited to, "You can't get me, you stupid dog!" Though I couldn't argue the truth of their assessment of his intelligence. Ignatz was the sweetest dog I'd ever owned, but his brain capacity was low. I decided to put a stop to this. I came out the back door and gave them a friendly smile. "Hey, I'm going to have to ask you guys not to tease my dog. People next door get upset if he barks too much." Greg gave me the finger. "Screw you, old man!" The kids ran off, laughing. Old man? Old man? I was 38. Barely 38. I just celebrated a birthday last month. Little bastards. I played fetch with Ignatz for a few minutes, then took him inside and resumed drawing the day's installment of Off Balance, the comic strip I'd been doing for the past decade. The punchline to this particular strip involves Zep the Beetle having a stone gargoyle shoved up his nose, which was proving to be a more difficult artistic challenge than I'd anticipated. On the third day, the rotten brats threw rocks. I made it outside just in time to hear a loud yip as a rock hit Ignatz in the side. Greg and Dennis ran away. Ignatz didn't seem hurt. He licked my face happily as I scooped him into my arms, but it was time to involve the parents. If I remembered correctly, Greg's house was the red one on the corner, two blocks down. I put Ignatz inside, walked over there, and knocked on the door. A tired-looking, heavy-set blonde woman answered. "Hi," I said. "Are you Greg's mother?" "Yes." "I'm Jason Trey. I live in the white house about to..." "The one with the graveyard in the front yard?" I smiled. "Only at Halloween." She didn't smile back. All of October, actually. "Right. Anyway, your son and his friend were throwing rocks at my dog. Maybe they were defending themselves. He's inside a fence. Maybe they were worried that it was going to get out." I shook my head. "If they were worried that he was going to get out, they wouldn't stand there and throw rocks at him. Look, I'm not one of those, 'Hey, you kids, get off my lawn,' neighbors." "Seriously, I'm not. I just can't have your son hurting my dog. So if you could have a talk with him and let him know that it's not cool to throw things at animals, I'd appreciate it." "Why don't you keep it inside?" The whole reason I've got a fence is so Ignatz can be outside. I'm not asking you to keep your kids indoors. I'm asking you to tell him to quit behaving like a psychopath." I cringed at my own comment, since parents tended to react poorly when you referred to their child as a psychopath. But this lady was starting to piss me off. Greg's mother barely even acknowledged my comment. She sort of nodded and sort of shrugged. I stood there for a moment, waiting for a verbal response. "Thanks," I finally said, figuring that the conversation was over. "Okay." I walked back to my house. I'd been tempted to mention that her 10-year-old was giving the finger to adults, but I didn't want to be a whiny tattletale. As long as they weren't destroying stuff or harming pets, I was fine with kids being kids. I'd lived in this neighborhood for nearly 3 years without any problems. The next day, I was so absorbed in my work that I didn't realize what time it was until I heard Ignatz yelp in pain. I rushed out the door just as those little shits each threw another rock at him through the fence, both of which missed. They ran off, laughing. I crouched down next to Ignatz and ran my fingers through his fur. There was a small welt on his back. Now, I realized that I was the mature adult and they were the children, and that I should have taken the higher road. But I wasn't in a higher road kind of mood. I drew fast and was way ahead of deadline on off balance, and that made it very easy for me to take the rest of the day off to plot my revenge. First, I needed a fake chainsaw. Not some cheap rubber thing. I wanted one that looked and sounded totally real, but wouldn't actually, you know, slice children in half. After a few phone calls, I found one at a costume shop that was an hour and a half away. I enjoyed the drive. I wanted to find a phony severed head that looked as if it could belong to a 10-year-old, but I wasn't able to locate one that I could get by the following afternoon. So I went with an adult head, a really cool one with a rubber tongue lolling out of its mouth and part of the spinal column dangling from its neck. The next day, I let Ignatz out into the yard and splashed some fake blood on my face and clothes. I looked at myself in the mirror. Nope, not enough. By the time I was satisfied, I was absolutely drenched in gore. The reprehensible little creep showed up on schedule. As Dennis pounded his fist against the fence, I burst out of the door and ran toward them, a severed head in my right hand, a roaring chainsaw in my left. Greg and Dennis shrieked. The crotch of Greg's pants immediately darkened. They fled, screaming in terror. Yeah, I know. I really should have left it at that. Instead, I opened the gate and chased them down the sidewalk, letting out my most maniacal laugh, which I was disappointed they wouldn't be able to hear over the chainsaw, since it was a pretty darn freaky laugh. At the end of the block, Dennis fell, landing hard. Greg just left his friend and continued running toward his house, never looking back. I shut off the chainsaw and walked over to Dennis. He'd wet his pants, too. And his arm was bent at a funny angle. Oops. I had a feeling this was going to create some problems in my life. This is the excerpt from Blister.
I love that. I do. And you know, hearing you read it and the oh my gosh, I love that book. It was so funny. And I'm hoping that anybody who I have told in the past day and a half about how awesome this book is, I hope that they you know, get how funny. That's what just got me was the humor. Oh my goodness. I loved it. I did. And, you know, I think one of the first parts that I laughed out loud was when, you know, he was like, you know, he's going to go get this chainsaw, you know, but he didn't really want it to, you know, cut up these kids. And I was like, oh, my gosh, that's funny. I loved it. I did. And I loved Blister. You know, I don't want to do any spoilers or anything. I don't. So I don't want to say too much. But I absolutely loved it. And that made in. A lot of times, you know, I read a book and I put it down and I go on to the next, but I had such a book hangover and I was like, well, I'm going to find it. And I asked Becky because, you know, she steered me in such a great direction the first time. So I asked her what I should read next and she was the one who, you know, recommended Cyclops Road. So that's where I'm at now. And I can't wait. This is funny. And I never say this, but at the end of the show, I can't wait to the end of the show tonight because I'm going to read tonight. So.
We can just stop the show early. We'll just have awkward silence and let the audience get their own copy of Cyclops Road, and we'll just all read along.
Yes, we'll have like a buddy read. That sounds amazing, all except for the awkward silence thing because, you know, our show is now over a year old, and I will tell you in the beginning, we did have a couple of awkward silences, and they are no fun at all. So that's why I find myself babbling sometimes, you know, to fill it any way that we can. And I do apologize. James is gone. He had some kind of mishap where he just got booted out of the studio. And this has happened before to other shows, never to ours. And so I'm lost without James sometimes. But and I know that India did our embarrassing story, but I had you all prepared to do a you know, an embarrassing story. So we have a cute little, you know, jingle for the embarrassing story, but I'm not going to do it because I tried singing a couple weeks ago and it did not work well. So do you have an embarrassing story for us, Jeff?
I was trying to think of one that was just truly mortifying and humiliating, and I couldn't actually come up with anything. So I've got a mildly embarrassing story, I was at the World Horror Convention, and sometimes they have what are called copy clutches, where an author goes into a room, and people who have signed up basically get, you know, half an hour of your undivided attention. You basically go in, do a Q&A, do a reading, whatever you want. It's like, you know, half an hour with Jeff Strand. And you know, there's lots of other stuff going on, so I didn't expect a huge crowd. But I went into the room, and there was a huge crowd. It was like, wow, the entire room is filled. This is amazing. So I went in like, hey, everyone, thanks for coming to my coffee clutch. Wow, I didn't expect as many people. This is great. And talked for about 5 minutes with everyone kind of just politely looking at me. And then Mike Mignola came in. Sorry, I'm late, everyone. And I realized that I was in the wrong room, and they were actually there for the creator of Hellboy. And so I went into my own coffee clutch, which had a respectable crowd, but not a Mike Mignola crowd. And I
that's
got through it.
Really
I wasn't.
Story.
It wasn't
yeah.
too humiliating, but it was a little embarrassing. So
no,
that
it's
is
perfect
my
for
tale
a show
of shame.
Too. It's perfect because normally when we first introduced our embarrassing story, James, you know, told it was about poo, and so far every week since then, I think we've had a mention of poo, and here I am mentioning poo. So this it's my fault this time. Maybe I have a poo fetish. No, I don't think
it's
I do. That's really gross.
No, I don't have any good poo stories, unfortunately.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad because we don't need those. I learned a little bit too much about my co-host with his poo stories. So what are you working on now?
Right now I'm working on a novel called Sick House, which is sort of the one-sentence premise is a home invasion with ghosts. So it's more straightforward horror than something like Blister, which is kind of a quirky, dark romantic comedy. Sick House is horror, but there's also a lot of dark humor in it. So.
Awesome. Do you find because the humor just came? It seems to come so easily. Do you always incorporate the comedy into it, into your stories?
Yeah, pretty much always. I have a couple books that are known as my serious books. Those are Pressure and Dweller, but even both of those have lots of humor in them. So I actually wanted to be a humor writer before I got into writing horror. So
I was wondering, with Blister, and he was a cartoonist, and is that something that you have been interested in? Do you, I mean, you seem to...
As a kid, I desperately wanted to be a cartoonist, and if you said, what career path would you, what would be your ultimate career path? It would be a comic strip creator. The problem is that I can't draw.
Uh-oh.
So that's problematic.
That's pretty funny. I always wanted to be, an actor or, actress or singer or something, but I can't sing at all. I cannot carry a tune. As a matter of fact, a couple of shows ago, me and Becky decided we were going to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game for James, and oh, my gosh, it was horrible. I definitely wasn't drinking enough because it was really that bad. And as far as being an actress or something, my voice doesn't carry at all, so I would be lousy at both of those things, but, it doesn't stop me from, dreaming, I suppose.
Yeah. So, yeah, I kind of work through my desire to be a cartoonist through Blister.
Yeah, writing about it, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing is that, we were talking about this too. It's the question: where did you get your ideas from, or the inspiration behind that story, or something? But and oh my goodness, especially with like a Cyclops Road, how did you think of where did that come from? The idea behind that.
There's usually not a good story behind where the ideas came from because it's like I think about them for a long time before I write them. By the time I actually get to writing something, I can't quite remember where the germ of an idea came from. Cyclops Road was just kind of based on the idea of, what would happen if you met a woman on the side of the road who said she was off to kill some sort of mythical creature. And, she's obviously deranged, or maybe she's not. It depends on whether or not the book goes into a fantasy direction, which is something I have tried to hide.
Yeah, I always wonder how much I should say because I don't want to do any spoilers. But I think I'm only around maybe 25% into it, somewhere like that. But we've gotten to where they've met up with the second what is he called? I can't remember the second person that's supposed to go with them on this journey.
I think the
or
second
something.
Hero.
Yes, and he knows about it. Like he's crying because this is something. So I'm like, now I'm confused. I'm like, is there really a Cyclops? Because
the
when
answer,
I read,
there will be a definitive answer to that before the book is over. So.
Yes. So, and again, with the humor, I just freaking, and I do, I just love it. And this is definitely going to be a book that I will order in paperback to have on my shelf because they're just so, so good. And, and I have to say this too, which is, I proofread as well. And, when I read the indie authors, there's so often I find mistakes in, in books, I do this all the time. It takes me out of the story. It really does. And it just ruins the whole flow. And I can see the stupidest little thing sometimes. And I have to say, I didn't find anything. No mistakes at all, which is, awesome. That's great for you. But, I've even found mistakes in, traditionally published books. So, but I'm always looking. And I don't mean to because sometimes it really bothers me, to find a mistake, and I'm like, oh man, it just messes up stuff. So, but I had to say that was awesome that I didn't find not even one mistake in Blister. So I'm still working on Cyclops. I'll let you know.
Yeah, be sure to send me a detailed accounting of any
right.
Type of
I will.
Finding.
I will. So, I was, because I think you're so cool and so funny, I was wondering, do you want to do 11 questions with me?
Let's do 11 questions.
Yay! Okay. Number one, what's your guilty pleasure?
probably the show MasterChef.
Really?
Yep.
I'm a lousy cook, so that would, yeah.
Well, so am I. It's just, it's a weirdly compelling show. It's like, will the steak they cut open be the perfect medium rare, or are they going to have overdone? And you just, what will it be? There's no reason I should care at all, but I'm fully invested in it.
That's awesome.
And I feel guilty about it, so.
Do you put, you know, that's, I'm always confused about, you know, a guilty pleasure, because I'm not really sure what I would consider a guilty pleasure. I don't know. So, okay, anyway, baked beans, ranch style or pork and beans?
Neither. They're both horrible. I'll go with pork and beans if I have to give an answer, but they're both vile. So.
Do you even know what ranch style beans are? Because I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's just a brand.
Okay. I didn't even believe they existed for a long time, but James sent me a picture, so they do, you know, in fact exist, but I've never had them.
Yeah,
so,
no.
Okay.
Not a fan of baked beans here. So.
Yeah. No, I can't say that I am either. Puppies or kittens?
I'm going to go with kittens, even though I know it's the wrong answer. I love them both, but having to choose, I got to say kittens.
Kittens are cuter, I will give you that, but they have claws, you know, they will claw you, and they don't even think anything about it, you know, and then they grow into cats, and, you know, cats are just jerks. They really kind of are. Not that I'm, you know, just like cats or anything, but they kind of are jerks, so... And there's actually no right or wrong answer here, but, you know, when we first started doing this segment here, James was the first one who asked the questions, and I answered them, and the next week he wanted me to do them, and it's because he says I judge people, and I don't, and he's not here right now, so he cannot, you know, he can't yell at me or mute me or anything right now, but I don't judge. Oh, okay, maybe I do just a tiny little bit, but it's... You know. Okay, anyway. What's your favorite lunch meat?
Olive loaf.
What?
And
what?
Judge me for it. Go ahead.
That's gross. Okay, no, I did not judge. There was no judgment there. Did you say olive loaf?
Olive loaf? Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay.
It's a real thing. It's like a bologna, but with pieces of olive in it, kind of a...
Yeah, like I can picture it. I've never had it, so I can't judge you too harshly, but... It sounds kind of gross, so I will say.
Well, not as gross as baked beans. So.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. So, you know, I would not want a meal of baked beans and olive loaf, though.
No, that you probably wouldn't.
Yeah. Okay, what was your first car?
A very, very used Plymouth Caravelle.
You know, I don't know too much about cars, so most of the time when people answer this question, I just, like, go, because I have no, you know, I'm just excited when somebody remembers. It took me, I don't even know how many weeks before I could remember what kind of car I had. I know that it was red, and it was a convertible, and for the longest time, that's all I can remember. And, it escapes me now what it was anyway, so I guess it wasn't too important. It was a good car, though. Let's see.
I don't know anything about cars unless I owned it. So I can tell cars I have owned, but I couldn't tell you any other car.
Right. What do you fear most, snakes or spiders?
I think I'm going to go with snakes. Spiders are scarier looking, and spiders probably haunt your dreams more. But if there was a snake in the house, I would be more concerned than if there was a spider on the wall. So snakes.
I have scary stories for both snakes and spiders, but for me, I'm terrified of spiders. Like, they actually, I can't move when, you know, there's, of course, little ones, but a big spider, oh my gosh, I'm just terrified and I'm paralyzed. Not quite so much as snakes. I actually had a couple snakes when I was younger, but I mean, I guess it is different, you know, a wild one's definitely different, but... Yeah, the correct answer is spiders there, by the way.
All right,
yeah. Okay, Freddy, Jason, or Pinhead?
Freddy, by far.
Yeah, either Freddy or Jason. I don't know anything about Pinhead, and James threatens to not talk to me until I've seen Hellraiser. But
he's right to do it. I actually like all three of them, but definitely Freddy's the favorite.
Yeah. Okay. First draft, handwritten or word processor?
Word processor. I don't write anything by hand anymore.
No. I can barely sign my name anymore. It's gotten really bad. Favorite alcoholic drink?
Probably Angry Orchard hard cider.
Ah, really? That's one of my favorite drinks. Do you like the green apple or?
Yep, the green apple.
Yes, that's the best.
Variety.
Now I've had what is the other kind? Reds. Reds is okay, but it's not nearly as good as the Angry Orchard. It's like my favorite. And number 11, not to be confused with number 10 because there is none. One interesting non-writing related fact about you?
I can't snap my fingers.
Really?
Yep. I've never been able to.
That's
I can get through life
would,
fine
yeah.
without that skill, but it's a weird skill to not have. It doesn't work.
Well, I can't whistle. Can you whistle?
I can whistle.
Yeah,
but
so you whistle and I'll snap and we can,
That'll be the band.
Yes. Okay, and our bonus question, baseball or stamp collection?
Baseball.
Thank you. Do you actually like baseball or do you just not like stamp collections?
I like going to baseball games where you get like baseball stadium hot dogs and that kind of stuff. So I like the environment of a baseball game. I don't follow the sport at all, so I never watch them on TV, and I couldn't name any players or anything, but I do like going to a baseball game.
I'm a huge baseball nut, and James never lets me talk about it, and he's not going to let me now either because it looks like we're out of time for this segment. And can you tell us where we can find you online?
www.jeffstrand.com.
Awesome. And you have other links, too, and they're posted on our Facebook page because I stalk really, really well. So I know his links better than he knows them. So if anybody wants to stalk Jeff, they can do it there. And I thank you very much for coming on the show. And do you promise to come back and see us?
Absolutely.
Great. You see, I say it that way just so that, you have no choice and you can't back out that way because we have it
on the permanent record. So.
Yes, exactly. So... I thank you very much for coming on the show. And this is the time of night where James would tell me to say goodnight, Xtina. So goodnight, Xtina.
All right, goodnight.
Goodnight, Jeff. Thank you.
Oh, the shark, babe, has such teeth there. And it shows them. Pearly white, just a jackknife has old Maggie, babe, and it keeps it out of sight. You know when that shark bites with its teeth, babe, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves though wears old Maggie. So there's never, never a trace of red. Now on the sidewalk, Sunday morning, lies a body just oozing life. And someone sneaking round the corner. Could that someone be Mac the Knife? There's a tugboat down by the river, don't you know, where a cement bag just drooping on down. Oh, that cement is just, it's there for the weight to dare. Five will get you 10 old Mackies back in town. Now you hear about Louis Miller, he disappeared, babe, after drawing out all his hard-earned cash. And now Maggie, he spins just like a sailor. boy's done something rash. Now he's in the Niva.
Ho, ho.
Yeah, to his tawdry. Woo, Miss Lottie Linya. And Lucy Brown. Oh, the line forms on the right, babe. Now that Maggie's back in town. Jenny Diver, whoa, Suki Tawdry, look out to Miss Lottie Linya and old Lucy Brown. Yes, that light.